You ever notice how excited people get when there's a hint of something special behind a door or hidden that they've found something, they've found what potentially could be a treasure, or they've just uncovered a crypt of some sort in Egypt that might have something really amazing there, or they've just found a safe in what used to be Al Capone's bedroom, and they're going to open it. You ever notice how much excitement they can try and muster out of that? Bring in all the TV crews and make a whole show around this. They'll advertise it for weeks that they're going to be opening this door. And I want to contrast that a little bit this morning to a dry, barren hillside on the outskirts of Jerusalem, where the most amazing thing happened on a very unpretentious morning, where there was no one except several Roman guards standing in front of this grave site, this rock in front of this grave. There was only one body in there. It was a brand new grave site. It was near where Jesus was crucified, and to expedite things, it was kind of a last-minute thing. Early in the morning, there's no crowds, there's no camera crews. It's just these really tired soldiers wondering what in the world they're doing guarding a dead guy. So I just want to take a moment or two just to recount Jesus' Easter weekend, his long weekend. So day one was the day before the Sabbath. And you can picture it. It's busy. I mean, this is the busiest day of the week in Jerusalem. People are cooking not only their meals for that day, but they're cooking the meals for the next day because they can't do anything on the Sabbath. They're not allowed. They're not allowed to cook their food then. They're not allowed to do all the preparation stuff. And so Friday, or the day before Sabbath, it's busy. It's not a good Friday for them. They're busy. And so on this busy, busy day, Jesus is crucified, and his body is laid in a tomb. Joseph from Arimathea was a follower of Jesus, a believer in him, and he asked Pilate right at the last second, "Hey, let me just take his body from you. I've got a newly built sepulchre, a grave site just down the hill from here. We'll just put his body in there. We'll take care of it." And so they did it expeditiously, knowing that the Sabbath was about to happen. So in Matthew 27, it says, "The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can.' So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard." So that was it. Going into day two, the Sabbath day. You can imagine what's going on in the minds of Jesus' followers. Can you imagine it? Nothing to celebrate yet. You know, after the death of someone very close to you, you might feel like you've just been run over by a truck. You don't know which end is up. You had hopes in this one, that in this person that seemingly went unfulfilled. And so you can just imagine, and they don't know what the next move is going to be from the leadership. They don't know if it's going to end with Jesus, or if they're going to now come after the followers of Jesus just to make sure this crazy event was put down and ended once and for all. Were they going to come after the disciples, the followers of him? They didn't know. All they knew is that they had lost somebody very, very dear to them, the one that they had hoped so much in. Now, on the spiritual side, it's not really, really clear what was going on. There's a few hints There's a few hints. I chatted with Mike yesterday. I said, Mike, what do you think happened that day? So there's a couple of thoughts, and they may both have happened. I don't know. There's one thought out there that Jesus went and he preached to those who are waiting to be set free. I like that picture. And then there's also the picture of he went and he did some business with his enemies. I like that picture too. I think both probably happened. I can just imagine God going to Adam and saying, Adam, you have got to see what's about to happen. You've got to see what's going to happen here. Just look at that stone. You're not going to believe what's going to happen here. So there is a lot going on in the spiritual, I believe. It was not a day off for Christ. There was a lot happening on the Sabbath day. And then the third day, the amazing day. And again in Matthew 28, it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He's risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. The earth did shake that day. There was no big crowds there. But I'll tell you, something happened. Something happened. And I can't imagine what was going through the minds of those poor guards that were assigned that post that day. But they had something to tell after that. But I want to quickly just touch on several things that came out of that crypt that day when that stone was rolled back. What came out? What came out? What came out that didn't go in? Because there's many things that came out of that grave that day. Many things that Jesus brought with him. The first thing was a signed ransom note that said, paid in full. Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Isaiah 51 it says, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing will flee away, man. It will be a time of joy because the ransomed will return. The ones that had a price on their heads will return because the ransom was paid. That's us. The second thing was a signed deed of authority. Who walked out of that hole that day? Who stepped out from behind that rock that day? A king, that's who. A king. A king with authority. In Hebrews 10 it says, but what shall we say? We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Even the priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. It was done then, at that moment he sat down. He's not waiting to have a seat. He sat down then because his authority was established then. The weight of judgment was upon his enemies then. Amen. In a single act, the tide changed for his and our enemies. The other thing that it says, and we see this as Jesus is talking about Peter. Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What kingdom? Kingdom The keys from a king, that's who. He also came with a tremendous gift. Jesus stepped out of that hole that day bringing a gift of forgiveness, a gift of salvation, a gift for us, a gift offered to all mankind for all those who would receive. Grace, much grace, was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, it says in Ephesians. What a victorious act. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. From that moment on, there was an explosion of gifts. Just the gift of salvation, of course, was the gift, and then gifts to the church with an invitation. You who are afar off, now is the time. Draw close, draw close, draw close to me. He stepped out of that hole that day with a plan to build his church, that a plan that would even withstand hell, a plan that would take the church and pillage hell, pillage the enemy. Not even the gates of hell could hold this church back. That's the plans that Jesus had for his church that day. He stepped out of that hole in the ground that day with an ironclad promise of the Holy Spirit. Within 40 days, the Holy Spirit would be unleashed on the earth. Within 40 short days, Jesus emerges triumphant. The time for the Holy Spirit's arrival was set in motion. In Romans 8, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. If the Spirit of him, and it says down in verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies, new life to you through his Spirit. And there's proof that day, 40 days later. I mean, all you have to do is look at Peter, the guy who says, man, I do not know this man. I have nothing to do with that man. 40 days later, he's baptized and filled with the Spirit, and he's speaking to a crowd that can barely hear him. It's so huge. And 3,000 turned to Christ that day. You want to talk about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in power and is still here in power, fulfilling the desires of Christ. And you know, if it wasn't enough, the invitation of salvation, Jesus came with signed adoption papers from his Father, saying to you and I, come close, so close that you are adopted as my children. Powerful. Powerful. What a document. What an invitation. Jesus was a living will and testament from God himself. And finally, there was one other thing that Jesus had, and among, we could stand here and go on and on, but the one thing I wanted to remind us of is that God gave him a marriage license. It says, my son, I want you to take for yourself a bride. And that day he looked out, and the thought must have struck him. You know, looking out in the early, early morning, it's still dark, and the thought must have occurred to him, I'm going to take a bride. Powerful. And so we're invited. We're invited now in this acceptable time, this day of salvation, to draw close to this one who loved us so much that he would even die for us. This acceptable time, this invitation to rise up, not in ourselves, we can't do it in ourselves, but to rise up from death to life in Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.